Yes, welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of The Jungle Show. So glad to have y'all back again listening. This will go out on Friday, January 20th, and we're here to talk about our takeaways from Auburn's big road SEC win against the LSU Tigers down in the Bayou on Wednesday night, and to look ahead this weekend on Saturday going to Columbia, South Carolina, playing a very struggling South Carolina Gamecocks. Before we get started, just want a quick reminder that this video is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be exploited by hackers. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, making you harder to track and securing your privacy. NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. Check out the link in the episode and YouTube description down below to find it out. So, all right, let's get right into it. To do that and to discuss this all, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, this is a big, you know, tone-setting type road victory in the SEC for Auburn to improve to 4-5-1. Am I right on that? Is it 4-1 or 5-1?
I think it's 5-1.
5-1. I think you're right too.
I don't. It's a lot. Look, since the Georgia game, it's 4 straight wins.
It's different. Yeah.
So it's 5-1.
Yeah.
That's a, any road win that we can pick up is a good win.
Yeah.
We're going to be good at home. I'm not saying we're going to win them all. But we tend to struggle on the road in the past few years. So going to Baton Rouge and winning by 18 going away, and being in control basically the whole game. They made a little run at us early in the second half, but being in control the whole game is a big win.
Absolutely.
And with the schedule that we have coming up in the next month, you need as many wins as you can rack up right now.
That's right. All right. So, just like we said, Auburn improves to 5-1 in the SEC with their 67-49 win over the Tigers of LSU. Starting off with a little bit about LSU, they just look a lot like – this game looked a lot like the Murray State victory from last year. You want to know why? Because we're basically playing Murray State.
Yeah.
So – And they're in the middle of it. They're in the very beginning of that rebuild. Matt Manahan's a really good coach. I like that fit there at LSU, especially better than Will Wade. But aside from that, you know, they took advantage of a really easy non-conference schedule, and they're kind of getting beaten around in their gauntlet of an SEC schedule. I mean, getting beat by 40 by Alabama, by 18 by Auburn. And their only victory in the SEC was their first game against the Arkansas Razorbacks, who are horrible right now. So
they're not horrible. They're playing horrible. Yes.
No, they're horrible.
Okay.
So moving on to talking about Auburn, obviously a huge win. Obviously there's different aspects of this game. We're going to try and talk about it all. But if you had to pick one reason why Auburn came out with the victory and the way that they did, who or what was the reason that Auburn came out with this win?
Number one, not reason number one, number one on his jersey
number one,
PG one. Wingreen was fantastic. We've said it over and over again since he was bad in that Georgia game, and he was bad. Yeah. Since he was bad in that Georgia game, he has come on and played well, if not really well. And if you look at his line in this game, he's 14 points. He only made one three, so he's getting to the hole more. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 0 turnovers, and 2 steals.
Yeah,
he's plus minus a 13. That's your point guard.
I don't know if you could name a better stat line. Obviously, you want to see maybe a few of those threes go down that he shot in the first half. But I agree.
That's why you won that game.
Yep.
It's like we've said over and over again, we're going to go as far as he goes. And he was going a long ways against LSU.
Yeah.
And I don't think LSU is very good. That doesn't take a lot to come up with that take. They're struggling this year, like you said, but he was fantastic.
Yeah.
He was the best player on the court.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that Wendell Green was the reason that, or one of the top reasons that Auburn came out with this win. Obviously, Wendell being point guard number one, playing the way he has ever since after the Georgia game, starting with the Arkansas game, he's made the point proven that if Wendell Green plays, just like we've been saying, if Wendell Green plays bad, Auburn's going to play bad. Example, Georgia game. If Wendell Green plays kind of average, Auburn's going to play kind of average. Example, Florida game. If Wendell Green plays really, really good, Auburn's going to play really, really good. Example, last four SEC games, Arkansas, the two Mississippi schools, and now LSU. And you just look to build and build and build on that. But you're not just getting, you know, what we want from Wendell Green. You also got exactly what you want from Jalen Williams in this game. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. That, especially in that little run in the second half where he had about, I believe, 8 straight points. If he keeps doing that, Wendell keeps playing like he is, Janai's going to have more. You know, we talked about him needing more shots. He only had 5 shots in this game, had 4 points and 6 rebounds. He just didn't need to. He didn't need to have those shots. I mean, we had dulls in the offense, but he didn't need, you know, those 22 shots that he shot against Georgia.
No.
And you're starting, I mean, man, and we'll talk about Alan Flanagan here in a minute because I really want to harp on how good he's been. But Alan Flanagan, you've got him making impacts. Yeah. Leo Berman is scoring 8 points. He should have had 11 points. That 3 should have gone in.
That should have gone in.
But aside from that, you're getting what you want from Jalen Williams and Wendell Green, but Jalen Williams is my, you know, combat to, okay, instead of number one, I think it's number two.
Okay. And I can accept that. Let's talk about Jalen real quick. The first half, I thought he was struggling a little bit. He made a three, but that jump hook just wasn't finding range.
Yeah.
And we came back in the second half and started slowly in the second half and had me a little anxious because they started making everything. Yeah. And I Snapchatted you and said, it's time for Jalen to get a shot. We need him to get a shot. And he got 8 straight points.
Yeah.
And the game was over.
Yeah, just like that.
He's uber talented. He just needs to play every game like he knows he's the best player on the floor.
And that's exactly what we've been wanting Jalen to do from the very beginning. Yep. I mean, I think ever since his sophomore year before Jabari, I think he could have been named the best player on the court at any point in time. He just doesn't seem like he knew he was the best player on the court. And then last year, he wasn't the best player on the court, and he had to come off the bench, but was still incredible in different stretches and showed that he could be the best player on the court. And then towards the start of this year, he just, again, didn't look like he knew it. But now he's looked like he's figured that out, and he's taken advantage of it because now teams are not just game planning for Wendell Green and Janai Broome, but they're game planning for Jalen Williams.
I wonder if that year with Jabari, I don't know how to say this exactly, but if it stunted Jalen's growth, because you're right, last year he was not the best player on the floor. Every time we took the court, Jabari was the best player for both teams. And Jalen had to take a back seat. And I wonder if he's just having a hard time asserting himself to take that front seat again. I wouldn't change anything about having Jabari Smith. I love Jabari. But I wonder if that slowed down Jalen's development. I don't think he would ever say that. But now that he's starting to get back to, hey, I can compete at this level and the next level.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you how I can do it. And he's our best 3-point shooter. Again, when that hook shot is dropping, as it started to in the second half, he made a spin to the baseline one time, and I think he shot it from out of bounds, but banked it in.
Yeah.
Just great move. The announcers kept talking about how smooth he is, and that's a great way to describe Jalen Williams' game. It is smooth and easygoing, and that's just who Jalen seems to be. He's a smooth, easygoing dude. And but I also think he's – and that's what we need. We need the Jalen that'll rip your heart out.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're absolutely right. So let's talk about – Alan Flanagan this game. Flanagan was in foul trouble the entire game, fouled out of the game, and a lot of them were so ticky-tack and, you know, whatever, on the road, SEC, whatever. Aside from the fouls in this game, Alan Flanagan looked outstanding.
He made a couple of three-pointers, and I was like, do not shoot that. Good shot.
He made two. His first one was a step in right after, right off that dribble handoff. That look, he's gonna make that. The second one was a hesitation from the corner, and he was like, "Wait, you're actually not gonna come out and guard me?" So he just let it fly and drilled it. I was like, "What the heck?" So
Flanagan had about that today.
8 points and 7 rebounds in this game. And I feel like that was one of his best games of the year. He had one turnover in this game. He had 7 against Mississippi State?
Last week. Yeah, Mississippi State, yeah.
This game, he looked great. He looked just like not only the sophomore Alan Flanagan, but he looked like he knew that he was the best player on the court. You know, we talk about that with
Jalen.
With Jalen. We talk about that with Wendell, and we talk about it with Janai. Or Janai knows, but Alan has just now starting to realize, okay, I'm here too.
Yeah, I think Alan is starting to feel like his old self again. And look, we're not in his body. Last year, we don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But the more he did, the worse it got, it seemed like. The more he dribbled, the more he turned it over. The more he passed, the more he turned it over.
Yeah.
To go into a game like that one last night and only turn over one time is and get a steal. So it's a wash in my opinion. You turn it over once and you got it back once. But I've seen some people talking about that hesitation jumper. Most of the time when you hesitate at the three, the saying is, there's no way it's going in because you
hit it. The broadcaster said, no chance.
No chance.
And he buried it. And I was like, oh, well, you know.
Nothing but that.
That's the first one that's happened today. Because, I mean, Jalen hesitated on one and missed it. Wendell hesitated on one and missed it. And I believe it may have been KD who hesitated on one and missed it. And then Flanagan hesitates clearly. And it looks like he was wanting to hesitate and drive down the baseline. And that guy gave him no respect on his shot, and he just let it fly.
I don't know if it was as much of a hesitation as, am I going to drive or am I going to pull it? I'm going to pull it, I'm going to get my feet under me. And you're right. The guy didn't come all the way out on him. So he said, well, I'm not going to drive.
Yeah,
I'm going to pull it. And it was a great shot. He played great. He is an elite defender at 6'6", made of muscle. He can defend almost anybody. He can jump out of the gym. Very athletic. So getting him healthy and back to his almost old self is a big step in the right direction.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So we've talked about pretty much all the guys in the starting lineup except for Janai and Zeb. I mean, Janai's going to have more shots. Janai's going to score more than 4 points in a night. Zeb played a great game, buried that first three. I was like, oh, yeah, we're here. We're going. Yeah, we're good. Yeah,
open the game. Zeb buried the three to open the game. I will say Janai sometimes has a tendency when he's passing out of a double team to turn it over.
Yeah.
And I think he had, what, 3-4 turnovers? We can't have that of the five. You can't get 5 turnovers out of the 5 or 4 turnovers out of the 5 because Cardwell didn't turn it over. But Cardwell had 4. Janai had 4. That's 8 points and 13 boards from your five. Yeah. So 8 points and 13 boards, that's not bad from the five position.
I want more than that. Yeah.
But and Janai will give us more.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, it came out that he has a sprained toe. Sounds horrible. I don't know what toe. I saw somewhere that Janai had a sprained toe, and it does not sound like a fun deal.
That sounds painful.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about the guys in the starting lineup, just like I mentioned. Now, Auburn had 22 bench points in this game. 8 from KD, 8 from Lior Berman, 4 from Dylan Carwell, and 2 from Yoan Traore.
All right, let's start with KD because
he buried 2 threes.
It is so good.
Oh my god!
To see KD getting his confidence back, he shoots 2 for 4 from 3. He makes both of his free throws. He gets a rebound. He gets an assist, and he does not turn the ball over. And he has 2 steals.
Look, KD, I may have been the happiest person. Of our 8 threes that we made, we had 8 and 24, 33%, which is – that's pretty it's not great, but I'll take that, especially on the road. But when KD made his 2 threes, I think those were the happiest of the 8 that went in, just because we've seen him really, really struggle with not only his shot, but his confidence in his shot. He's just not shooting it as much anymore. But he buried those 2, and that first one was kind of a step back. Oh my gosh, that looks like KD from last year.
Yeah,
moving on.
Gotta see that, especially the longer Simo stays out, which I don't know how much longer it's going to be. The more I want to see KD step up, and producing that at the 2 guard without turning the ball over, which KD is kind of known for, is a big deal. Hitting those shots, he was attacking the basket, he was getting fouled, they just weren't calling it. I'll take those 2 threes, like you said, just to build his confidence more.
No doubt.
If you'd have told me last year that we were going to do a show in which I was begging KD to be more confident and shoot the ball, I'd have told you were on drugs.
You lost your mind.
You've lost your mind, because that kid's more confident than any human I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's not right now, and those threes will help. Yeah. And we need it.
So talking about confidence and fit and trust from the coaches to put Lior Berman and give Lior Berman – how many minutes did Berman play? I'll let me get that here in just a second. Lior played 8 minutes and had 8 points. Again, you said this earlier, should have had 11. His second three
should have he played down. 16 minutes. He was plus 8.
He was 16 minutes. He was plus 8. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. He played 16 minutes. I thought he played more than that. 16 minutes. Obviously, he's the backup 3 because Allen, who was the backup 3 behind Chris Moore, has been, propelled into the starting spot, and Lior has done nothing but amazing things to fill in for that backup 3. Obviously, the back cut for the layup, his other 3-pointer that should have gone down. I love that shot.
Mm-hmm.
And his and-one that he got. His scoring is great. Buried his free throw as well. But can we talk about that offensive rebound that he got on that crucial possession?
They're so big. Second game in a row that he has come up with an offensive rebound when we had to have the ball back.
Yep.
And he's not the most athletic guy out there, but he knows how to play the game.
Yep.
And look, that move, I think he shocked the guy who was guarding him on the and-one drive, because the guy was like, this guy can't get by me. And Lior went right by him. And pulled up and got fouled mid-range and put it in. And it was like, you don't want to underestimate the kid. He can play. And it's like the announcers last night were saying over and over again, he's a guy that Bruce Pearl trusts. He trusts him because he's going to give his 100%. He's going to play defense. He has some limitations, but he's going to play defense. And he can shoot the lights out when he gets going. And he was going. And like you said, that third three-pointer should have gone in. It went all the way down and came back out. It was a great shot. Any shot that he gets, I'm enjoying that. Because I'm rooting for the – I want him to do well.
100%. So another guy – and I'm just segueing this. Another guy whose two shots or two makes or three shots in total were all like, oh, my God, like you get out of your seat type of attempts, I'll say. Dylan Carwell. His first attempt was a back screen lob, and I don't think Wendell cared if there were all five guys that were going to go up to the rim. He was going to throw it. And he threw it up there and right over that guy, right over KJ Williams' head, and Dylan just grabbed it and flushed it.
And he flushed it over. I thought he was going to break the little guy's hand that had a guard had rotated down, and Dylan just jumped over it.
Yeah,
and caught it and crammed it in, and I was like, man, I love to watch those alley-oops when I still don't know how Wynn throws that accurately. He's dribbling left, throws it with his right hand up towards the right side of the basket, and Dylan caught it and killed it.
You know, Sharif did that many times, and I was like, how does he make that pass? There's nobody that can make that pass.
Yeah.
Wendell does the exact same thing. Wendell's very, very good.
Very good.
Very, very accurate when he throws those lob passes, and that was a perfect one. Another one, the other make from Dylan was, I guess, everybody, all nine other players just kind of stopped because I think they thought there was going to be a whistle, and Dylan just grabbed the ball and dunked it. I don't really know why they all stopped, but you know that. And then his step back three pointer attempt was quite something.
Come on, Dylan.
Look, listen. When he started shooting, I was like, "That's good. That's going in."
I thought for sure.
3 points. Go ahead.
I thought for sure he was going to make his second career 3-pointer.
No, my gosh.
And the clock was winding down. He had to shoot it. I don't know how it ended up in his hand. Somebody didn't know the clock was winding down. And passed it to Dylan at the 3-point line. And give him credit, he put it up there. It hit the rim. Now it hit really hard on the rim, but it hit the rim. And look, again, this is your five position. This is the backup five. 4 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. 2 assists.
Yep.
2 blocks and plus 13 in 17 minutes. From Dylan, I'll take that every game.
Yeah. 100%. And then I want to talk about one more thing before we quickly talk about South Carolina and give our predictions for that. We've seen these struggles from former LSU signee Yoan Traore. And we've seen struggles. We've seen confidence issues. We've seen not knowing where he is, not in the right position. Obviously, he's not ready for this kind of college basketball. But there is, like, we always wonder why he was a five-star. He can still score.
Yeah.
We saw that in Israel.
Yeah.
We're just not seeing it now because now we're more like we're more of a refined basketball team now, and he doesn't have a place really. But Traore, as with about a minute left, just took the ball at the top of the key, went one dribble to the right and faded away and buried a jumper. And I was like, that's what we saw in Israel. Oh, that's what we saw in the exhibition.
That's what we want to see.
That's what we've been trying to see and wanting to see for the entire season and just have not at all.
Here's my other hope. And again, it's a confidence thing. I hope, like KD, developed confidence on those two threes. I would hope that Yoan would develop some confidence. I don't want him to get 10 shots. I want him to get 3 shots in his time on the floor, and I want him to defend and get some rebounds. You're 6'10".
Yeah.
But if he can just make 2 or 3 of those a game, It would develop some confidence. He'd start figuring out where he's supposed to be. Look, he's new to basketball. We all thought it would be a little bit of a project, except he went to Israel and scored the first 8 points in that game. Had a 20-point game. And everybody, you and I both went, wow, he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
And then he gets over here and it's like, blah, 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 I don't know where I am. And it's like, what happened? Johan, we need you to make, I need you to make two of those, maybe three, every game.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He could do it.
You can do it.
He can do it. Yeah.
And you get a couple rebounds and two or three of those makes and work your way into knowing what's going on. And next year, his athletic ability is off the charts.
Yes.
He's long arms. He's big, strong kid, athletic, can run, can jump. Just get to where you feel like you know what you're doing. And then next year, prove it.
Yeah.
And let's see what you got. So I've not given up on Johan. I know that you would early on you were giving up on Johan. But he dropped that bucket, and I think I texted you and went, there's Johan. Treyor is here. So
okay.
Glad he made a bucket in front of the team that wanted him there.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt. So moving on to talk about Auburn's next opponent and the South Carolina Gamecocks, the 8-10 South Carolina Gamecocks. Just not a very – I just don't think they're there yet. I don't think they've gotten they had a really weird non-conference schedule. Like, they beat Clemson, and Clemson's really, really good.
Good basketball team.
And they lost to Furman and George Washington and Eastern Carolina. And then they went to Rupp and beat Kentucky. And then they lost to Ole Miss on Tuesday and gave Ole Miss their first SEC win. So they're 1-4 in the SEC. They'll come
with that one win being at Rupp Arena.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So at Rupp Arena, they have one kid make 6 of 10 3-pointers. They got hot from outside. If they get hot from outside, they can beat. Look, the 3-pointer changed the game when it came in years and years ago, and it equaled the playing field. So not just the teams with the big guys were winning.
Yeah,
and they've got an NBA player on their team.
GG Jackson is one of the best, like, NBA type ready players in not just the conference, but in the whole country. He's their leading scorer. He averages 15 points a game, along with 6 rebounds. So obviously, he's an NBA build type of guy. So that's a guy you've got to look out for. You've got really to guard. Player. If you could get Chris Moore back, that would be huge. But I expect that to be an Alan Flanagan type of assignment because he's a long wing, and you'll see a lot of long wings, especially from now on. So,
yeah.
And that game will be in Columbia, South Carolina at 2:30 p.m. Central Time. And
look, it's a game.
It's a good one.
It's a game we got to win.
Yep.
You can't lose to South Carolina. They're at the bottom of the conference right now, them and LSU. So you need to rack up as many wins as you can right now. You got South Carolina Saturday. Then we come home and get to play Texas A&M, who's still undefeated in conference. That'll be a big game, by the way. That game's turning out much bigger than what I thought.
Yep.
And then you go to West Virginia. And so you need some W's. West Virginia's not playing real well, although I think they beat TCU last night.
Yep.
So, but this South Carolina game, GG Jackson is the real deal. He's an NBA. We talked earlier on one of our podcasts. How many teams have NBA players?
Carolina has one.
South Carolina has one. Yep. He's an NBA player, and I didn't think at that time that Auburn did. Jalen's got a chance.
I think Allen does too.
Allen, if he keeps building, also has a chance. So we'll see.
Yeah, just like you said, Auburn goes to South Carolina, then comes home next Wednesday and has a very big matchup with Texas A&M. Just like you said, the Aggies are still undefeated in SEC
play after surviving
against Florida at home, just like we did. And then Auburn goes to Morgantown for the Big 12 SEC Challenge to play against West Virginia in an early morning game, 11 o'clock game next Saturday. So if you can get finish out January undefeated here,
yeah,
and get three straight wins, mm-hmm. boy, you're set up for February. And February is a straight gauntlet.
Because then you're 7-1 halfway through the conference season.
And guess who you get February 1st? You get Georgia at home. That's your revenge game against the Bulldogs.
Gotta get a dub there. That's 8-1.
And then you go to Knoxville. And then you go to College Station.
Okay.
And then you host probably going to be one of the top teams in the country, Alabama. And then Missouri. Then you go to that awful arena in Nashville, play Vanderbilt. Then Ole Miss. Then to Rupp. To Coleman Coliseum and then Tennessee.
Oh, God.
So those final three are going to be something.
They used to talk about Amen Corner in football. That final week in basketball is Amen Corner because that's going to be tough. That's why you build up as many wins as you can get right now.
Yep.
You got to win South Carolina.
Yeah.
You really got to win Texas A&M next week.
Yeah.
And then you got to win Georgia first part of February. You got to get the ones that you can get,
yeah.
Because that Tennessee team has gotten beat, but they're very good, especially at home. They're one of the best defensive teams in the country. Obviously, Alabama may be the best team in the country right now. Kentucky at Rupp.
That's tough.
I know South Carolina
made them,
but they found something.
Yeah.
And Missouri just beat Arkansas last night. And oh, by the way, my favorite group of people, the SEC officiating, had to apologize because they blew a call that may have cost Arkansas that game.
So. Well, couldn't have happened to a better fan base in Arkansas. I don't understand they're 1-5 in the SEC now.
How is that even possible?
They need to cool off. They need to like go sit in timeout or something.
I don't even understand. 1-5.
Like, that's terrible.
I know Nick Smith's not there, and I know they lost the other guy.
Brazil.
But you still have NBA talent on that. You got at least two starting for you right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, man.
Nothing.
Good job coaching, Mr. Musselman.
Yeah, okay. So we'll get out of here. If you want to find us on Twitter, just look on screen on YouTube at Gray Oldenburg or at War Eagle Hoops. You're going to find the amazing stuff on auburndaily.com. Just go there or at The Auburn Daily on Twitter. We'll be back to discuss this Auburn game against South Carolina before the A&M game next week. We hope to see you all then. War Eagle.
War Eagle.